Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits. Your courage and devotion to a dream are an inspiration to everyone in the 21st century marketplace.
Stand by. We are back. It's 13 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And our phone number is 888-822-8255 if you'd like to join us. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to go there and check out my site. Check out a lot of the new stuff we've got on up this week. Just this week, we have some new capability up there, a new search feature that I think you'll like a lot. Road test that for me and let me know what you think about that. A bunch of new articles, dozens and dozens of new articles from a lot of different folks. And also, don't forget, when you're there, don't forget to sign up for my newsletter. It is free, comes once a week. Let me tell you about our guest this hour. His name is Dale Dalton. We visited with Dale before. He's a friend. His management experience includes positions with two major corporations and two consulting firms, as well as creating a nationally known market research firm retained by dozens of industry leaders. He's the author of The Max Strategy, How a Businessman Got Stuck at an Airport and Learned to Make His Career Take Off, and also the other book that we've talked about in the past on the show, The Gifted Boss, How to Find, Create, and Keep Great Employees. Dale Dalton, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jim. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you back, and as always, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation today because I know you've got some things on your mind that are some things that I like talking about a lot. One of the things I want to do, though, is the Max Strategy is not your average, ordinary, everyday, run-of-the-mill book. It's a special book, and you've written it in a special way, and I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to take a minute, and before we get into some of the other specific topics, and just orient us a little bit around the book, The Max Strategy, how you got started, why you decided to write the book the way you did.
Well, actually, the Max of the title doesn't refer to Maximum. It refers to a character named
Yep.
Max Elmore, and he's the book set up in the... What I learned from my academic friends is called mythic style. It's the wise old guy telling the young rookie just everything he knows.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he knows about, in this case, about creativity and innovation and evolving a career instead of the old make a list of goals and look at them every day and that kind of approach. It was really written for the people who I encountered. As you know, I write newspaper columns.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of mail, and I find a lot of people saying that old cliche, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And that probably fits a lot of entrepreneurs, at least before they become entrepreneurs. So anyway, it was for those people, the ones who didn't grow up knowing exactly what they wanted to do. They don't have that specific idea. And to try to make it a more interesting read, I decided to make it a conversation, and it takes place between two guys stuck in O'Hare Airport overnight, which happened to me. I was 25 hours late on one flight out of O'Hare. And so I used that recollection and the personality of a retired professor friend to put the conversation into a setting that I think somebody could identify with. And it was kind of a metaphor for a career being stuck, you know, being this young corporate guy stuck at the airport. He can't get out. He can't get back home. He's grumpy and irritable and... And that's kind of the way a lot of people's careers are as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably the young person probably didn't know he was stuck professionally until after he talked to the wise old owl, did he?
Well, that's the problem. You get frustrated, you get bored, and you read a book on motivation, you hear a motivational speaker, and you start saying, oh, something must be wrong with me. This is a good job. I just have to knuckle down. But sometimes you hear that whispering of something deeper, something maybe even that could be described as soul, mm-hmm. whispering that you're spending your life doing something you don't find engaging or meaningful. And so this young guy had heard those whispers and had turned away from them, like most of us do, and mm-hmm. said, hey, I got a wife, I got a baby, I got a mortgage, I can't go off and just follow my dream. I have responsibilities. And I think you can do both of those things, follow a dream and be very responsible. And the magic comes from figuring out ways to do both things at once. And so that's true for a lot of people probably listen to your show who would like to be entrepreneurs, who just think, well, someday when I save enough money, I can be an entrepreneur. And they put off that dream, waiting till everything's right. And as we all know, there is no perfect time.
No, that's exactly right. And one of the things that I know you like to point out to people is that there's no shortage of ideas. I mean, every person who is earning, and I didn't, which I intentionally use that term rather than receiving a paycheck. Anybody who's earning a paycheck and doing a good job, they're full of ideas. They've got lots of ideas, whether they act on those in their for their employer or not, or whether their employer acts on their ideas. They have lots of ideas. You say that the problem is not the ideas, it's in what you do with those ideas and whether you have the courage to act on those ideas.
Yeah, the ideas are out there just flying past. You just have to grab hold of one and then recognize it for what it is. And a couple of examples, I don't know if we have time for both of them, but let me start with the classic one, one of the great ideas, the idea for Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may have heard this story, and a pharmacist in Atlanta named John Pemberton experimented with a number of things, one of them being a headache syrup. And one day he walks in the back of his pharmacy, and there are two shop boys who are drinking the headache syrup.
Now, this was in the 1800s, right?
Yeah, it was.
Stand by, Dale. We got to take a quick one. We're gonna leave you hanging there for a minute, folks. We're gonna get Dale to tell us about the Coca-Cola story when we come back right after these messages. It's 20 after. The phone number is 888-822-8255. Don't go away. We're having a great visit with our good friend Dale Dalton. Dale is a columnist. One of the things I didn't mention earlier, he's a weekly columnist. His columns reach over 10, count them, 10 million people every week. His weekly commentary on business life, the corporate curmudgeon, and he also writes co-writes a column with Kate Wendleton, which is called Kate and Dale Talks Jobs, and those are syndicated by King Features. And 10 million, that's a lot of folks, Dale. I bet you get a lot of mail.
Well, it's in 10 million copies of newspapers. How many actually read it, nobody knows.
Well, probably at least 9 million, I would say, right? You were telling us about the Coca-Cola story. Folks, what we're talking about is people who saw something around them and took action. They had the courage, or the first thing they did was they paid attention. And that's something, Dale, that I think that I've tried to do for a long time. I've had people... something would come up, and I would know the answer, and someone would say, "How did you know that?" I said, "I pay attention." First thing you got to do is you got to pay attention.
Well, in the case of this John Pemberton, the Coca-Cola fellow, his pharmacist, when he walks in the back of the store and sees the two shop boys drinking his headache syrup, they had diluted it with water, and so he asked him, you know, he tries it. And says, hey, this is pretty good. And he adds sparkling water and experiments a little, and he starts selling it in the pharmacy as a refreshment. But here's the question. Here's the paying attention part, the courage part. When you think, what would you do if you walked in the back of your store and there are these two kids drinking your product? I mean, it's meant for headaches. And here they are just stealing it and drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think most people would say, well, get the heck out of here. They'd fire them on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd throw away that diluted headache syrup, cursing these kids, and go back to work.
Because it didn't, what they were doing was not the way this guy intended it to be used.
No,
they
no,
were flying in the face of his paradigm of what this stuff should be.
Exactly. But instead of throwing them out and cursing them, he says, "Let me try that," and says, not bad." And that is one of the words of creativity. That's the sound of a mind opening. That's the sound of someone paying attention. And I see that all the time. Yeah, I don't know if you have PetSmart stores down there.
Heard of them?
Big chain there, you know, the big box supplier of pet supplies. And one reason they've been so successful is that people bring their pets to the store. And it becomes an outing for the pet and the owner, and people look at each other's pets.
That's not a pet store, that's a zoo.
Well, yeah. And so they have this wonderful word of mouth where people talk about, "Oh, I saw the cutest puppy there." But the way that started, they didn't used to do that, but the way it started is a woman comes in and buys a dog collar, doesn't fit, brings it back, exchanges it for another dog collar, still doesn't fit, goes back the third time. Poor clerk at the store says, "I don't know what to tell you. It should have worked. Maybe you should, I don't know, bring the dog in." So the woman brings the dog in, and you know, it's a revelation. The employees are all excited to see the dog. Well, again, like with Coca-Cola, what would you do?
Yeah.
I think most people, you know, you're the manager of a store and somebody brings their dog in, you're going to be saying, "Oh, my God, what if this dog takes a leak over there? Oh, this, you know, this dog's going to bite somebody. Oh, what if somebody, you know, steps in some dog crap?"
What a novel idea to have a pet in a pet store.
Yeah, well, but it's a scary idea. If you're the manager, you're thinking all the things that could go wrong. And this has become, you know, the key to their word-of-mouth advertising, a huge hit for them, and a wonderful thing for a lot of people and their pets.
And this sort of became kind of the trademark of that store, didn't it?
Yeah, it's what made them what they are. I mean, being a big box store anymore, big deal. But the whole pets on parade part, that's the excitement of the store. And I imagine the courage it took.
Yeah, yeah. Stand by, Dale. Folks, we've got some more stories to tell. We've got some more things to talk about being creative, about about the importance of paying attention, and about some other ways to say, when we come right back after these messages. It's 29 after the hour. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blastingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Because we've got some important things to talk about here with our good friend Dale Dalton. He's a syndicated columnist, weekly columnist. One of his columns is called The Corporate Curmudgeon, and the other one is called Kate and Dale Talk Jobs, and those are two different articles, one that he co-writes with Kate, and King Features syndicates his column all over the country. How many different newspapers, Dale?
Well, the Corporate Curmudgeon's in the 30, and Kate and Dale is the one that's really caught on. It's in 80-some papers now.
Congratulations. Now, you have a website?
A lot of them in the South. I know a lot of your listeners here in the South. We're in papers in most of the major southern cities.
Yeah. Do you have a website?
I do. It's called Dautten.com, Dautten.com.
And folks, if you want to check out any of Dale's books, the Max Strategy is currently out of print, although you have some on your website, right?
I still have some, yes. The publisher, William Morrow, is, I hope, doing a new edition with a different title and all. And,
will you be sure to let me know when that happens, and we'll tell the audience. And folks, but you can order the Max Strategy from Dale's site, which is Dautten.com. But the Gifted Boss How to Find, Create, and Keep Great Employees is available right now. And if you go to your local bookstore or the online bookstore, if you type in D-A-U-T-E-N in the search engine, then you'll find his books. And I recommend it to you folks. And Dale, as you know, finding and keeping good employees is not a problem these days, it's a crisis. And that's the reason why I like telling people about your book, because I think it will help them to solve that problem. I want to go back. We're talking about...
Jim, before you go back, I heard a great line the other day. A guy told me, he said, we are looking for employees. He said, we aren't just scraping the bottom of the barrel anymore. We're looking around under the barrel.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. I mean, somebody said, they've taken a stethoscope to the office, you know, just if they got a heartbeat, they got a job.
Yeah.
But it's becoming serious. Anyway, what I was going to say, though, you were talking to us about the Coca-Cola story.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two things that I want to point out about what we're talking about here, folks. We're talking about paying attention, coming up with the ideas, but if you think you can't come up with the idea that you need, if you're saying, you know, I don't have any ideas, maybe you just need to look around and pay attention, and then have the courage to do something about it. And sometimes having the courage means that you have to subordinate your ego a little bit so that the courage can come through. And by that I mean, if you've already decided how something should be and you see it in a different way, then if your ego, if you're so vested in that particular way of looking at something, that your ego won't let you have a different frame of mind or a different attitude about it, you're going to miss a lot of good ideas. But there's two things, Dale, that I wanted to point out that you've got to do. Number one, what pharmacist Pemberton did, the guy who founded Coca-Cola, or invented Coca-Cola, I guess I should say, he did something that I like to talk about a lot. He was doing MBWA, management by walking around. Go out into your shop and walk around and see what's going on. You might run up on a couple of little guys, you know, doing some different things with your products. They may be loading something on a truck differently than the way you taught them, and it might be working. Who knows?
Yes, the ideas are out there waiting, and you find them, you're right, walking around. You don't find them sitting in your office thinking hard. You find them out there walking around. Another classic story is Levi Strauss, who, the blue jeans.
Mm-hmm.
He came from Kentucky out to the California Gold Rush and came by ship. And his family had a store there in Kentucky, and so he brought along some merchandise to sell to his fellow passengers. The one thing he can't sell is some tent canvas, and he gets to San Francisco, and he's trying to sell this stupid tent canvas, and one of the folks there says, well, you got any pants? He says, no, I got tent canvas. He said, well, too bad, because this prospecting is really hard on pants. That's the thing that you could sell most easily. So he took the tent canvas to a tailor and had it made into pants. And that's the paying attention part. And, you know, it doesn't just happen once in a century. I mean, I'm telling these old stories because everybody knows the products.
Yeah.
But I hear these every day. Here's one that might fit some of your listeners. A guy named Dan Hagerman runs operations manager for a bakery supply company. Takes this new job at a company outside of Phoenix, and he discovers there's 300% turnover among the people in his group. These are the drivers and the warehouse people. So he decides he's going to become an expert on hiring and firing and reducing turnover. He studies every kind of personality test and drug test, experiments with different interview techniques, cuts turnover from 300% to 15%. Well, people notice that.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, he's got some specialty now. And then he is giving speeches to trade groups. Now he just got a call from a company in the Midwest saying, would you please take some vacation time and come consult with us? Now he's going to end up being a consultant on that issue, all because, you know, he got a job and he discovered they had this horrible turnover.
Dale, right? Stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about managing your first impressions. Welcome back, heroes. 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to go there and check it out. Check out the new features, a lot of new content there. And sign up for my newsletter. Go ahead and do that. It's free. I think you'll like it. Dale Dalton is our guest. He's a syndicated columnist. Look for his column, The Corporate Curmudgeon, in your paper. And by the way, Dale, at your website, Dalton.com, can they take a look at what your column looks like there?
Oh, sure. There are sample columns there. And book excerpts and the neat thing called the Promotability Index, which is assessing your odds of getting promoted, which might be handy for the people who are thinking about starting a company.
Mm-hmm.
They decide they aren't going to get promoted where they are.
Well, one of the reasons that I want to say that, folks, you know, there are papers out there, Dale, that don't carry a lot of business help articles and columns. And I would like to say, you know, recommend those people, if you'd like to have that kind of a regular feature in your newspaper, go to Dale's site and see if it's something you're interested in, then call your newspaper and say, hey, we want to take a look at this. That's one of the ways that you change radio stations. It's one of the ways that you get something done at newspapers, and you just they like to hear from you. Give them a call. If you're one of their customers, they want to hear from you. They want to know what you're interested in. Okay.
Oh, man, bless you for that. Yeah.
Well, no, I just think that's important, and you know, people, I get email from people who have heard about my show, or they receive my newsletter and they're not in an area where my show is heard on the radio, or they listen on the internet or something like that, and they want to hear it in the car, and they say, how can we get you in my area? And I say, call your radio station. Call them up and go beat on their door and say, you know, do something. You can make a difference out there, folks. The people who produce newspapers and television and radio shows, radio broadcasting, they want to hear from you. So check them out. One of the things, did you finish the story? We had to go to a break. Did you finish that story? I thought you were pretty close to being. You were talking about the
The fellow, how he managed to evolve from being just an operations manager, and now he's going to end up going into that business. I'm guessing he hasn't gone yet,
mm-hmm.
but it's solve a problem, be a hero, and there are plenty of problems out there if you just figure out what problem to solve, and then if you already have a business, which I know a lot of your listeners do. And if you'd like to be more creative and evolve into new areas, find better ways to serve customers, there's a little trick to that. And that is a simple little question. It's five words, and it's a creativity guru that you'll become. What else could we try are the five words. And you ask that of your employees, you ask that of your suppliers. They come in and say, well, here's what I think you should do. You say, fine, that'd work. Now, what else could we try? First, they'll think you're crazy and say, well, what's wrong with my original plan? Well, nothing's wrong with it. Just what else could we try? And that, over time, gets the employees, gets the suppliers, gets the people around you, gets yourself, if you ask yourself the question. Thinking about other alternatives, and usually the great idea is the second or third one or mm-hmm. more. The first idea is the logical one that most people would tumble to. But the genius is lurking just behind that obvious solution.
And probably the second or third one is an amalgam or an alloy of two or three ideas that different people have offered.
Well, yes, and that's what all good ideas are. They're just mm-hmm. combinations of old ideas.
One of the things, a minute ago, earlier in the show, I said that there were two things that I wanted to point out, and I talked about MBWA, management by walking around, and I never got to the second one, which is your employees. You brought that word up just a second ago, Dale, and I think that's so critical, and I liked what you said. What could we try next? Wasn't that the five words?
What else can we try?
Okay. Yes. I also would like to recommend that you that maybe in front of those five words, that you add these four words. Look your employee right in the eye and say, what do you think? And don't look away from them. Don't walk away from them. Look them right in the eye. If you need to hold them by the shoulders or something, but say, what do you think? And look at them in such a way as if I really want to know what you think. Because Dale, you know, what could we try next? Or what else could we try? Is maybe the employee hasn't felt like they've got the license, the green light, to actually say what they think. And I have found two things have happened, two wonderful things have happened when I have asked my employees, what do you think? Number one, it's an incredibly liberating experience for me because now I realize I don't have to I don't have to come up with all the ideas. And number two, I get some pretty darn good ideas.
Yeah, one of the guys I learned that from was a fellow named David Wing who consults with retail stores. And he tells people to try to get every employee to have a specialty. Except, for instance, if you... I hear music.
Yeah, there you go. Good for you, Dave. Dale, stand by. We're gonna let you tell us about that story when we come back. Folks,
okay.
It's 50 after. We got one of the great storytellers with us this hour, Dale Dalton, the author of The Gifted Boss. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And I am glad you're here. I appreciate your business. Dale Dalton is our good friend and our guest. Dale is the author of The Gifted Boss, How to Find, Create, and Keep Great Employees. Check that out at the local bookstores and online. His last name is spelled D-A-U-T-E-N, Dalton. And he's also the author of The Max Strategy, but you got to go to his website to get that, and that's Dalton.com. Check that out, but maybe it'll be coming out pretty soon. You also, many of you have probably seen his column around the country in two different columns. One is The Corporate Curmudgeon, and the other one is Kate and Dale Talk Jobs. Did I say all that right, Dale?
You got it. Yes, thank you.
Talk to us about befriending. As we wrap up the hour, Dale, I want you to talk to us about something that you mentioned to me once, and you called it befriending your problems. Why would you befriend your problems?
Well, it turns out that's where the great businesses are. The business people, successful ones, are in the problem business. You're solving someone else's problems, and if you're smart, you're getting rid of your own.
Mm-hmm.
One example, the best-known guy who's talked to me about this, I got to interview Dave Thomas of Wendy's.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how they would use the outside of the lettuce to put on the burgers, but then they were stuck with the hearts of the lettuce, the inside,
mm-hmm.
which, you know. And so they were throwing it out, and as the chain grew, you realized, man, we're throwing out a lot of this. I wonder who might want to buy it. And he was thinking maybe a cattle feed company, something, you know, who could he sell it to? And then he said, well, maybe somebody who has salads or a salad bar. And that's when he thought, well, maybe I ought to have salads. And now the Wendy's sells more salads than any other fast food chain. All because he took that problem and said, well, you know, who might want to buy this? Who could I give it to? And you hear that a lot. I just heard it in the other direction. I talk about giving problems away. A guy who runs a law office, a guy named Pat Hall, who, four employees, and every Friday he'd write their paychecks. And, you know, that becomes quite a nuisance because the people aren't there, they don't give you their timesheets, you know, all the little problems. Mm-hmm. Or you're not there is the big problem. So he one day says to him, he says, well, listen, I'm going to let you write your own paychecks. You keep your own hours, write your own paychecks. And he gave away that problem. And, of course, for them, it's not a problem. They're thrilled. And it changed the whole environment of the office, the whole level of trust.
That's an interesting story. I'm not sure I recommend that, folks.
Well, I asked him. I said, now, you know, have you gotten burned? And he said, well, I don't know. I don't check. I know, I leave it to freedom. He said, but I do know this. I get my accounting statement, and my percentage that goes to the employees hasn't changed in the year I've been doing this.
Well, as I said, I'm not sure. His CPA is pulling his hair out, probably. But, you know, you talk about befriending your problems. You can't look at you can't look at pressed wood or chipboard, the 4x8 sheets of chipboard that's used in construction, without realizing that somebody looked at a pile of sawdust and said, hey, we need to make something out of that. That's just going to waste.
Yeah.
Dale, I apologize. Please forgive me. I've got to stop you because we've got to go. We've got to wrap up the hour. Thank you so much for being here. This is great. I'm already looking forward to our next visit.
Oh, a pleasure. Great talking to you, Jim. As I was telling you during the break, you're one of the few people I talk to who actually listens and has a real conversation. I enjoy it.
Thank you very much, Dale. I appreciate that. Dale Dalton, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Gifted Boss. Check out his book and check out his columns at your local paper. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.